in the sports world, in the area of track and field, records have been broken, sometimes by inches, sometimes by seconds. I would like to share with you a sports story from my high school days a few years ago. In my freshman year, I was practicing for track and field day. One of my favorite events was a hammer throw. The hammer is a 16-pound ball attached by a 3-foot, 11 3/4-inch chain. You swing it over your head, twirl around, and let it fly. Now, I'm going to give you a little demonstration. I'm going to get up here where everybody can see it. I don't have the hammer, but. Now, what I just did, I have to be very careful because my balance isn't as good as it was when I was 16 years old. The origin of the hammer throw, so they say, seems to have arisen from a picture of Henry VIII throwing a blacksmith's sledgehammer. That's what they say. Oh, yes, something about this jersey. I would like to have had one of my old school sports jerseys, but none of these exist. And if one did exist, it probably by now would have looked like Linus's blanket. So this will have to do. And thanks to Goodwill, I found this. Isn't it nice? Well, I would practice diligently as often as I could because I had my eye on the school record. I would come ever so close to that record, but never closer than close. Then one day I was watching a newsreel of one of the college Olympians when I noticed something. I said to myself, let me try that. What I noticed was that in my wind-up, my arms were too close to my body before my spin. So I extended my arms further. Wow, I could not believe what happened. Because of this minor adjustment, not only did I go on to break the school record, but I broke the record not by a few inches, but by 16 feet. That record, I am told, lasted until the school was torn down some 30 years later. I was not a bionic man by any means. I learned to practice in a different way that produced noticeably different and better results. End of story. I would like to reflect with you today upon another type of adjustment that can produce other amazing results that will significantly, more effectively, help us in expressing to others our thank you and our you're welcome. The main source of my reflection today comes from Marsha Rosenberg's book, Nonviolent Communication, A Language of Compassion. Marshall says that nonviolent communication is the lost language of humankind, the language of people who care about another, one another, and long to live in harmony. Deepak Chopra, says that Marshall Rosenberg provides us with the most effective tool to foster health and relationships. He goes on to say, nonviolent communication connects soul to soul, creating a lot of healing. It is a missing element in what we do. I will come back to Deepak Chopra's healing part of the relationships later. Thank you. Two little words that more often than not contain in meaning a gold mine of love and emotion. Yet do these words always express our true feelings? I believe that we all long to be more effective in expressing our appreciation and the love and gratitude that accompany this appreciation. At times we feel lost for words when a kind favor comes our way, so we fall back on this default phrase, thank you. Today, I will try to put flesh on the bare bones of this thank you. How do we show people that our thank you is not just a simple, well-worn phrase inadequately expressing our gratitude and love? How can we let people know that our thank you is also a gift to them? A gift sometimes as great as their original gift to us. Marshall Rosenberg says that our purpose in life is to make life wonderful for others, and we hope that this gift of gratitude to others will be received with the same glee and excitement, Marshall says, of a child opening a Christmas present. The question is, how might we become better fulfilled in offering gratitude, and how do we know to what extent our gratitude is understood and appreciated? Thank you is a traditional response, but we need not stop there. We might consider following our thank you with naming the gift for which we are thankful, naming the feeling, our feeling for the gift, and naming our need to respond to the gift that has been given us. It may go something like this. When you offered to help me with a job that I did not think I could do, naming the gift, I was really touched and grateful, my feeling, and I want to tell you how much it meant to me to have your support, my need to respond. This reminds me of the spiritual my mother used to sing.
Love lifted me, love lifted me, when I was down and out, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else would do, I say love lifted me.
Now let us look at how we might receive thanks, or how we might respond to another's thank you. Another person's thanks to us can also be a gift, since we are the beneficiaries of their gratitude. We may sometimes feel incomplete when receiving another's gratitude. When someone says thank you to us, we respond in a way that may not always feel sufficient to us. In fact, we may even unknowingly discount the thanker's gratitude by sayings like this: "Don't mention it. It was nothing. You don't have to thank me. I had to come this way anyway. That's what I'm here for. It's my job." Think about that. Do we really want to minimize another person's gratitude to us? Or would we rather welcome and embrace it by simply changing our response? Whenever we respond, let us consider some ways to enflesh our usual response of "you're welcome." How might we receive a thank you with love, as Deepak Chopra says, that promotes healing and gratitude? How about this? "When I hear your appreciation, I feel inspired because I really want to be there for people in need, and I was honored to be asked to assist." Or, of course, all of these responses we want to use in our own words that are sincere and come more naturally to us. Maybe this would work more easily for you. "Knowing you're thankful helps me to feel appreciated. I was happy that I could help." I promised that I would come back to Deepak Chopra's compassionate communication, creating healing. Whenever we respond from love by opening our arms and hearts a little wider, this process will promote healing for the recipient as well as for the giver. Remember, love lifted me. As we practice this simple but improved technique of giving and receiving gratitude, we will begin to realize that our gift is accepted and appreciated. This is indeed a form of altruism, which is finding happiness in helping others. Or, as Marshall Rosenberg calls it, making life wonderful for others. Deepak Chopra calls it creating healing. Whenever we make someone happy by expressing our gratitude, we make someone happy. Make just one someone happy, and you will be happy too. Remember the example of the hammer throw. All I did was open my arms a little wider. If we open our arms and hearts a little wider in expressing and receiving gratitude, we may also begin to break records, not by inches, but by feet. And we will realize what a gift it is to be able to help others and to help ourselves in our gratitude. Let us go after that record.